David Reneke is with me. Astro Dave, we call him. Check out davidreneke.com. It's a great website. You and I talked about this a couple of weeks ago. William Shatner heading into space. It's imminent now. He's about to go and experience 11 minutes up there and 3 minutes of weightlessness. I mean, it's a lot of hoo-ha for not much time, really, is it?
No, not really. I mean, he's only going to be up there for a 15-minute flight. He's going to be in space. Take you 4 minutes to get there from launch, so it's quite a ride. And he's going to be the oldest person in space when he comes back. A 15-minute flight, nothing real dramatic there. I mean, they've done it before. And he will be also part of a documentary they're making, so there's a reason for him going up there.
Do I hear there's an Australian on board as well?
Yeah, there is. Yeah, there's an Australian on board. Now, the ticket price is $28 million.
Okay.
There are two or three others on board there, but this bloke has been wanting to go, and he's got the money for it. But with William Shatner, there's one thing not many people have been told about this. They're making a documentary, of course. And, you know, NASA certainly used Bill Shatner for quite a few documentaries in the past because he's got what's called implied credibility.
Yeah.
You know, when you hear him talk, I mean, here's a guy that's been right across the universe, and he's fought every Klingon there is. So when you hear him talking, you got, well, he knows about space. So he's got his own program called The Unexplained. He's not an American, by the way. A lot of people think.
Oh, he's Canadian, isn't he? Yeah.
He's Canadian, yeah. So what he said only yesterday when they put the flight off for one day, I think they got bad weather over there. He changed his underpants about three times a day. look, you would, wouldn't you? But it'll go well. I mean, Jeff Bezos has got a good track record there, and William Shatner will be part of a documentary. He's also bringing his own CD out or something, a DVD.
Oh, I've heard he's going to do another bunch of songs as well, yeah.
Yeah, well, all memoirs and, you know, recitations and memoirs and stories about when he was Captain Kirk. So there's an ulterior motive for it coming out at the same time.
Great marketing opportunity.
We don't know.
I love it. Great marketing opportunity. Now, something we haven't talked about for a while. The Challenger disaster in the 80s was certainly a part of your and my life. But now, it's taken a long time, the Sally Ride quarter coming out of the US Mint to commemorate her. Why this particular time? Is it an anniversary or something?
Well, I've been wondering about that too. I mean, here's the first woman that went into space. It took a long time to get Sally Ride into space, but they finally come up now with a new coin. It'll be issued next year, honouring the first woman to fly in space. I think it's to do with their trailblazing women type of celebration they've got there. It's going to show Sally Ride next to a window on the shuttle, and it's something that she said when she was in space. She said, when I wasn't working, I was usually at the window looking down at Earth, because that site was just out of this world. And it would be too, where they were. But this is the first of five that they're putting out. The designs are emblems and sort of paying tribute, you know, the contributions of women who trailblazed various parts of American history. And Sally Ride certainly did that. I mean, she was a big inspiration to a lot of people. And she toured most of the schools in America as well and was an inspiration to the young girls there to become astronauts or get in the space program and show them that you can do it.
Yeah, I suppose her sacrifice has probably, made her even more of a star than she probably would have been.
Yeah, well, I think she died. I'm not sure what of, but Sally Ride, it wasn't very old when she died, but she certainly made a name for herself.
Yeah.
After that, you know, it blazed the way for Eileen Collins. Eileen Collins ended up being a shuttle commander.
Yeah, that's right.
So Sally Ride was a big contributor to, the freeing up of the gender side of NASA, which was pretty blokey, mate, right up until then, you know.
Yeah. Now, Jupiter, we love the great big red spot, but we've always thought nothing's ever changed with it. However, there's a bit of a shape change happening. And does that mean the winds are getting stronger on that planet? I mean, how strong are they anyway?
They're getting fairly strong. The wind speed's picked up by 8%, and it's about 370 k an hour. Now, this is a tornado, or really it's a hurricane, if you will, or a cyclone. There's not much difference between them. If you were looking down from space and looking down at the Earth there, you could see this circular spinning mass. And that would be a cyclone in the ocean. They see those quite a lot. And we see them on the news. But when we look at Jupiter, we see pretty much the same thing, but it's red. We don't know why. It's always been a mystery. Why has the red spot been there? Why is it there? It doesn't change. It stays in the same place. But it has been changing. And we know now by looking back at old records of observations of the planet that it's starting to flake off. It's starting to break a little bit and flake off. And it's not normally, it's becoming more round is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
It was fairly oval at one stage. Now, that'll hold the Earth over three times. So what we're seeing is a red spot that's not becoming a red spot anymore like we know it. It's changing dramatically, and there's a good chance that it may disappear in our lifetime. It's just changing so much now. And the colour, it's getting less red. So all these images being taken with new cameras now show us that we've got a change happening on this biggest mystery in the solar system. What causes the giant red spot?
See, maybe Jupiter's saying, I don't want to be forgotten. We're so interested in Mars. Don't forget I'm still here and have been for forever, just about.
Could be.
Yeah.
It's interesting, but to see these changes and be able to measure them, you know, from this distance where we are.
Mm. Now, what's this story about a planet orbiting three stars? That's never been...
This is crazy. This is just amazing. I've never heard or seen anything like this. And it goes against everything we know or thought we knew. When planets were being found around other stars, astronomers were looking at single stars like our own sun. And the feeling was that if you had two stars revolving around each other, which is fairly common, in fact, there are more of them than single stars. If you had two stars there with a planetary system, it would upset the apple cart. The planets wouldn't be able to evolve properly. And that, we found out, was wrong, because we did find binaries and we did find planets around them and planets in a successful orbit, you know, without any major trouble.
Yeah.
Now we've found three. Astronomers have found a triple star system, three suns, in other words, and we've found a ring of dusty material around the outside. And when you look at that dusty material, they found a big surprise. There was a gap there where something is moving or moving things around and moving a big hole, creating a gap in the ring there, this ring of rocky material, where we think a planet may be forming. And that planet could end up being as big as Jupiter. So if it forms and when it forms and if it does have life on that planet and that life becomes up to a point where it can recognise things around it.
Sentient, yeah.
Can you imagine waking up on a world like that where you've got three suns in the sky?
Bit like Star Wars Tatooine. I know that had two.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty dramatic.
Yeah, when Luke got up and we saw that shot of him on his home planet, there were two suns in the sky, yellow and a red and a yellow one, if I remember.
Yeah, that's right.
Like that. But this is a world that's got three stars that revolve around each other. How you could have... Look, planetary dynamics must be just amazing when you think that you can have an orbital system there too with planets around triple stars, three stars that are pulling at each other and tugging at each other. And that sort of thing we just didn't understand. But now we know that there are probably more out there, so they're on the search for them.
Where's Mr. Spock when you need him? Captain Kirk?
Yeah, that's right.
Drag him back
and
into service.
Not too far away from us, only about 1,300 light years away.
All right. One final thing, David, before we leave today. A Starship, the SpaceX Starship. The question is, will it get to Mars? I mean, we haven't had a test flight there yet, but I know we're trying.
Oh, this is amazing. Look, the more I read about this thing, the more engrossed I am in what he's doing. Elon Musk has produced this ship, this Starship. And when you see photos of it, you probably have. It doesn't resemble anything sort of modern. It appears to be in the realm of the 1950s science fiction movies. It's something you'd see in a B-grade sci-fi movie.
Yeah.
It's not painted. It's got no decals on it. It's not coloured. It's just silver, and it's stainless steel. They make it out of huge reels of stainless steel, and they spin it all together. And it's very cost-effective, too. It's cheap to make, but it's a massive rocket, and it's fired by something like 28 different engines. Now, Elon Musk is putting this together for two reasons. One is the Dear Moon project. This was announced in 2018 where he's sending Japanese billionaire Yasuko Maezawa.
Who?
Don't ask me to say that again. And a team of eight other people who he's put in there, who's paying, he's paying for them. Musk is going to fly them around the moon, spin them around the moon and bring them back home. But when he comes back here, he's going to be part of the Artemis mission to get America back on the moon. So he expects to have American astronauts on the moon by 2024. But hold your money. Hold your money.
Yeah.
There's more to come yet. His announcement is, and this is staggering stuff, that SpaceX is going to be the first company, he's going to have the first rocket to send human beings to Mars by the mid-20s. He's talking about human footprints on the red planet around 2026.
I think he's dreaming. I think he's dreaming, David. I think it's still 10 years away before it becomes a success, unfortunately.
I do too. Yeah, I got to agree with you. But then again, Elon Musk has made a habit of surprising people.
Yeah.
But his big vision, the vision that he wants to be remembered for, and he may or may not live to see this, I want to, is that by 2050, he wants to have a city on Mars. He says that his rocket eventually will be capable of holding 100 people in one go and 100 tons of cargo and launch them to the red planet.
Okay, if that happens, I believe it when I see it, but he surprised us before, David. But more at davidrenicki.com. Have a look at that website to see links to these stories and more. Till next week, my friend.
Talk to you then.